from deep inside your radio.
It's Standard Time, everybody. And that's my, well, it's one of my two favorite times of the year. And it is a special week, ladies and gentlemen. A special week because Senator John Kerry has finally straightened it all out. It's, what, October of 2005? Timing. This is from the Washington Post. Speaking from a pulpit beneath religious frescoes and a large inscription of the word wisdom. Now, that's stage setting. John Kerry this week called for withdrawing 20,000 troops from Iraq by the end of this year. That's a policy. And most others within another year. That's a policy. Quote, knowing now the full measure of the Bush administration's duplicity and incompetence, I doubt there are many members of Congress who would give them the authority they abused so badly. I know I would not. Unquote. That's right. He's officially retracting the statement he made during the campaign, that if he knew then what he knows now, he would vote to authorize the war. Again, now he says he wouldn't. Because he's learned so much about... He didn't learn this about the duplicity and the incompetence during his campaign, ladies and gentlemen. He's learned it since. That's what he did instead of growing a beard. Hello, welcome to the show.
heart written on my face. And it would behoove me and my soul if I did state my case. And so it's truth is real and real is truth is truly must be told. That you got to be the sweetest somebody I know. It's your love for life, your love for God, your love for loving more. And you express your love in ways like I've never known before. If there's a record kept on who's the sweetest, let the record show that you've got to be the sweetest somebody I know. You are the second, every minute, every hour of the day. I'm not trying to blow your horn, I'm only saying what it's told. That you've got to be the sweetest somebody I know.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer welcoming you to this edition of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, from a couple weeks ago, there was a White House list of about 10 terrorist, well, 10, not about 10, 10 would be the number. The number would be 10. Terrorist plots disrupted by the United States. That list has confused counterterrorism experts and officials, who said they can't distinguish between the importance of some incidents on the list and others that were left off. Intelligence officials who spoke to the Washington Post on the condition of anonymity said the White House exaggerated the gravity of the plots. The gravity of the plots by saying they had been foiled when most were far from ready to be executed. Others noted the nation's color-coded threat index didn't raise in the face of the imminent threats. The president made it sound like well-hatched plans, said a former CIA official involved in counterterrorism during that period. I don't think they fall into that category. The president announced a list of attacks, on October 6th, way back on October 6th, describing them as serious al-Qaeda terrorist plots disrupted by the U.S. and its allies since 9/11/2001. 3 of the 10 were aimed at U.S. soil. Counterterrorism experts said they could not explain why some of the U.S. government's bigger successes did not make the list, including the thwarted attack by the shoe bomber. We don't know how they came to the conclusions they came to, said one counterterrorism official, who spoke anonymously for fear of angering the White House. I don't think you need to be afraid of that anymore. My personal opinion, I think you can anger the White House now. I think that's what we know. Quote, it's safe to say most of the Intelligence Committee don't think the list is worth very much. Unquote. Is this more of the war between the CIA and the administration? Sounds like it. The White House said the incidents were compiled by the U.S. intelligence community. A spokesman for the National Security Council, which reviewed the plots list, declined to say whether the incidents represent the most serious threats, declined to explain why other incidents that required more disruptive security measures didn't make the list, said Fred Jones, a spokesman for the National Security Council. The gradations of seriousness is not something I've looked into. Neither are the gradations of grammar, apparently. The intelligence community takes them all very seriously, he said, even though he's not an intelligence community spokesman. Ladies and gentlemen, the indictment of I, Lewis, Scooter, Libby, this week doesn't clear up the mystery at the heart of the probe, according to Knight Ridder newspapers. The mystery being who forged the documents that claimed Saddam Hussein was seeking uranium for nuclear weapons in the African country of Niger. And how did a version of that report get into the president's 2003 State of the Union address? Even though U.S. intelligence agencies never confirmed it, and some intelligence analysts, particularly those in the State Department Intelligence Bureau, said it was false. We don't know that yet. A week's long review by Knight Ridder newspaper, however, has established a few facts. The FBI has been investigating the clumsy, their word, forgeries of documents claiming the purchase of Iraq of uranium from Niger. Those documents first surfaced in Rome in October 2002. The FBI has made little progress. That was reported by the New York Times this week. Go FBI. Although an Italian newspaper, Repubblica, this week wrote a three-part series that had chapter and verse on how the documents got here. Incidentally, the head of the Italian intelligence agency is having a meeting this week with Stephen Hadley, the United States National Security Advisor, who was aide to Condi Rice back when that report came over from Italy. There'll be more about Italy. Italy's good this week, ladies and gentlemen. But it is noted by people who know about this stuff that it's not protocol for the head of one country's intelligence service to meet with an official from another government who's not similarly situated. I don't know. Protocol, you know what I mean? Here's what Knight Ridder has learned. Italy's military intelligence agency, SISMI, that's what it's called, S-I-S-M-I, SISMI. All right, what are you going to do with me? And people close to it repeatedly tried to shop the bogus Niger uranium story to governments in France, Britain, and the United States. This created the illusion that multiple sources were confirming the story. This echo chamber effect, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be, I think we're going to learn more and more about this in the months to come. In the months to come. See? It's happening already. The CIA had begun receiving intelligence reports based on the same forgeries in October 2001, but they couldn't be confirmed. Copies of the fake documents suddenly surfaced at a critical point in the White House's fall 2002 campaign to take the country to war. That was when the Senate was, quote, debating, unquote, the war. The CIA eventually determined the earlier reports were, quote, based on the forged documents and were thus unreliable. There's your echo chamber effect. State Department intelligence analysts and some in the CIA discounted the uranium story, but White House officials working through their back channel to one CIA unit seized on the tale and included it in the State of the Union address. Those back channels, babe. You've been warned about those. You've been told what happens when you fool around in the back channels, but no. No, you insisted. All right, more about Italy. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. Now, do you know the deal with this guy? He's like if Rupert Murdoch's dream came true. Because Berlusconi owns most of the Italian media, and he's the head of the government. See what I'm saying? He owns, at least five TV networks, a lot of news magazines and newspapers, and he runs the government. It's a good deal. He's on the eve of a trip to Washington. He's coming over here, too. And what's he saying just before he comes over? This is why I'm saying I think it's okay to anger this administration now. He's saying that he repeatedly tried to persuade U.S. President George Bush against invading Iraq. Nice calling card, babe. The Italian leader voiced his unease with the military operation during a television interview that's going to be broadcast Monday, the same day he meets with President Bush. Yeah, but President Bush doesn't watch Italian television. It's cool. Berlusconi is one of Washington's strongest allies, which tells you all you need to know about our alliances at the moment. He didn't send troops to join the invasion, preferring to dispatch his forces only after the fall of Baghdad. But, you know, it's the Italian army, after all. Quote, I tried many times to convince the American president not to go to war, Berlusconi said. I tried to find other avenues and other solutions, even through an activity with Muammar Gaddafi of Libya. But we didn't succeed. Berlusconi interview was released only in small excerpt, so we don't know all that he said. He's been defending himself against accusations in Italy that the country's intelligence agency passed off those fake documents in Washington to bolster the Iraq-Niger story. His office has sent out two statements in the last week categorically denying the accusations made by La Repubblica, described by Reuters as a left-leaning newspaper. Says Berlusconi, finally, quote, I have never been convinced that war was the best system to make a country democratic and help it escape this dictatorship, even a bloody one. More about what we didn't know. You know what this is? Ladies and gentlemen, I think this is news from outside the bubble. Because it's from the Times of India. I mean, Berlusconi was kind of outside the bubble too, but this is really outside the bubble. Dateline Dubai. Former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein secretly accepted a proposal to go into exile shortly before the invasion. The suggestion was rejected by Arab leaders. Quote, we had obtained the final approval of various parties, the major players in the world, and the man concerned, Saddam Hussein, unquote, said Abu Dhabi Crown Prince Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, one of my favorite crown princes. He said this in remarks aired by the Dubai-based television channel Al Arabiya. Sheikh Mohammed was referring to a proposal by his late father and then United Arab Emirates President Sheikh Zayed bin Sultan Al Nahyan for Saddam to step down and go into exile as a way of warding off the invasion. The plan called on the Iraqi leadership to quit power and leave Iraq within a 2 weeks time limit after accepts this initiative, unquote, But as said up above, the suggestion was rejected by Arab leaders. Who would those be? And why? Oh, too many questions. Ladies and gentlemen, not from outside the bubble. It's right here in the United States. The New York Times reports that after a string of deadly attacks against Iraqi forces in the spring, American soldiers northeast of Baghdad established an operation at their army base to add armor to the unprotected open-bed trucks used by the Iraqis. But it's just four Iraqi ironworkers armed with two welding torches and thin sheets of metal. The Iraqi army is actually facing some of the same procurement problems that American troops have experienced in getting adequate armor and other equipment, according to interviews in Iraq with American and army and Iraqi military officials. But if the Americans have faced an uphill battle in getting vital gear, their shortfalls continue to this day. Families of American soldiers are still sending armor, body armor, and armoring kits to their kids over there. Kids! Their Iraqi counterpart, says the New York Times, are confronting a Herculean task. The biggest shortage is fortified vehicles. Unlike the Americans, the vast majority of Iraqis have neither armored nor unarmored Humvees. They're still navigating the booby-trapped roads in pickup and flatbed trucks. The makeshift armoring operation started last spring has managed to reinforce only about 36 vehicles. Several hundred more still need shields, according to American soldiers involved in the operation. So, if you're wondering what gifts to send this Christmas time, Humvees to Iraq. No, you know, could happen. And then, on the other hand, it might not. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we didn't do this last week. We didn't have time. But it's a copyrighted feature, and it must be done. The apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
The National Weather Service accidentally triggered a tsunami warning alert across Oregon a week and a half ago. The Oregon Emergency Management Office says the National Weather Service was conducting an internal test when it was accidentally set out on radio stations statewide. National Weather Service meteorologist Tyree Wild apologized for the mix-up. The company that produces images and content for the Jumbotron at North Carolina State home football games has apologized to the university for an offensive image that appeared on screen during the game against Clemson. Canes Vision, which is owned by the Carolina Hurricanes and produces content for the hockey team as well, has reprimanded employees involved in the incident. Unclear how many employees. The incident occurred during the Wolfpack's 31-10 loss to Clemson after several fans were featured on the video screen with titles such as Kissing Cam and Fan Cam. An image appeared with the title Mexi Cam. The person featured on the video screen was a Canes Vision employee. Company director Pete Soto has sent a letter of apology to the university. Responding to months of protests organized by the Armenian National Committee branches around the world, Time Magazine's European edition has published a brief apology to the Armenian community and all its readers for the dissemination earlier this year of a 70-minute DVD advertisement denying the Armenian genocide. Dateline Jonesboro, Arkansas. Adidas says it will not require Arkansas State basketball player Jerry Nichols to wear its shoes, but hopes he will accept an offer to look through its footwear collection in an attempt to find a suitable product. We're going to meet with him and try to reach a solution, says Kelly Olmsted, a spokesman for Adidas. But we're not coming down there to tell him he has to wear our shoes. Nichols said he suffered an injury in Adidas shoes and wants to wear Nikes while playing for the Arkansas State Indians, but Arkansas State has a contract with Adidas. Athletic director Dean Lee told Nichols he had to wear the footwear. Nichols has skipped practices ever since. In a university press release, Nichols apologized to the team's fans for all the confusion that was caused in this process. Thousands of frustrated South Floridians waited hours for ice and water that in some cases was slow in coming. Trucks carrying precious ice and water to Miami-Dade and Broward County, showed up hours later, not at all. Reports that trucks were on the way to several locations sparked miles-long lines. This is total chaos, said one Floridian. This is New Orleans, Florida. Said Robert Lincoln of the Florida Division of Emergency Management. Drivers needed to gas up, but state officials could not reach them with instructions by cell phones. He said the delay was the longest Florida hurricane victims have had to wait for supplies. I apologize for the delay, Lincoln said. That is the nature of disasters, unquote. And of disaster relief, apparently. The Bishop of Ferns in Ireland has issued an unreserved apology to the victims of clerical sex abuse in the diocese. Dr. Eamon Walsh said the findings of the official inquiry contained horrific accounts that had shattered trust in the Catholic Church. His two predecessors failed to fully investigate allegations against 21 priests. Bishop Walsh said he was horrified following publication of the report. All I can say is that this report has horrific accounts, and even though I've been dealing with this for years, when you read such a litany of horrible, gross abuse and rape all condensed together, it leaves you speechless, he said, even though he was capable of issuing remarks. The Minister for Children condemned the repeated failure and gross dereliction of duties of those in positions of trust in the Diocese of Ferns in Ireland. Diocese of Ferns, ladies and gentlemen. Victoria Beckham, what is she, Posh Spice, has apologized to designer Michael Ball after she threw a temper tantrum at their Los Angeles fashion show. Beckham and Ball, creator of the Rockin' Republic denim label, are back on good terms. She reportedly argued with Ball over his decision to withdraw her favorite design item from the fashion show. She looked visibly annoyed when she joined Ball on stage at the end of the show. She designs a limited edition denim line for his label. That's important. It's all important when it's Fashion Week. The Air Force Academy reprimanded Coach Fisher DeBerry this week for what it called seriously inappropriate comments about black athletes, but stopped short of firing him for his second public firestorm in as many years. He's suffering through a 3-5 season this year. He issued an apology. I realize the things I said might have been hurtful to many people, and I want to apologize. I want everyone to understand that I never intended to offend anyone, unquote. On Tuesday, in discussing last weekend's loss to TCU, he said it was clear TCU, quote, had a lot more African-American players than we did, and they ran a lot faster than we did, unquote. Continuing, he said, it just seems to me to be that way. African-American kids can run very well. That doesn't mean Caucasian kids and other descents can't run, but it's very obvious to me that they run extremely well. He's not losing his job. Unlike, who's that guy from the Dodgers? Al Campanis? Yeah, they don't got the muscles that the African-American kids do. He got fired. Dateline Santo Domingo, the president of the Dominican, I'm having trouble reading today, petroleum refinery this week admitted that the gases which alarmed the population this week came from that facility and apologized to the people and the president for the manner in which the gas escape was handled. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen. A totally copyrighted feature of this broadcast.
There was a holy book from ancient time, a parable for peace in humankind, wars were fought in its name, and we soon forgot, we lost the and still we never learn. These are the bridges that we burn. There was an ocean deep, a harvest wide, from which we took never would deny. Silent and empty now, we look for blame. Yeah, do the same to those who will never return. These are the bridges that we burn. And they're gone. They're gone. Those precious gifts that we, the knowing, have been throwing away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're God's design that had given us hope for all of time. It was a gift of life, answers that men might learn, and of course we sold it in return. These are the bridges that
This is Le Show, and good news for Bill Clinton and Alger Hiss, those perjury charges don't mean anything. That's what we're being told now. Perjury? Eh. Perjury schmergery. I guess that's the Republican talking point now. It boils down to perjury schmergery. The waiting game is over. The miles, pounds, tons of speculative, shall we call it, journalism that was spewed forth this week has been mercifully put out of its misery when Special Prosecutor Fitzgerald announced his indictment on Friday. Five counts, all against I Lewis Scooter Libby. Now, most news reports point out, of course, that he was chief of staff to Vice President Cheney. He was also, I believe, national security advisor to Vice President Cheney. But he's also an assistant to the president. George W. Bush, still? Yeah. Assistant to the president. Ranking, according to one report at least, on a par with the national security advisor of the president, Steve Hadley, who's involved in the, or maybe involved in the, Italian documents thing. That's getting too confusing? No, it's not. It's clearing up. So, Scooter Libby. And interesting stuff about him. He's apparently too smart to do this. That's what a lot of people are saying. Oh, he's a lawyer. He's smart. He's meticulous. Why would he do this? Accused of lying several times to the grand jury and to the FBI. Specifically in telling the grand jury and the FBI that he heard about the identity of Valerie Plame, now known to be an undercover CIA operative in the field of weapons of mass destruction. Who would care about that? From reporters, when the reporters testified after they were subpoenaed, that they hadn't told him that, and that other documents indicate that he learned that information from sources inside the government, including Vice President Cheney and others. You see, ladies and gentlemen. So Scooter Libby immediately resigned from all three positions, including assistant to the president. He's apparently a very athletic guy, which accounts for the fact that if you see him on recent news footage, he's on crutches. I'm not sure whether that's a skiing accident or a touch football accident. He's an aficionado of both, but he does have a broken foot at the moment. But there's a wonderful quote in Saturday's New York Times from and this just tells you so much about the scene, about the lively intellectual ferment that's been going on inside this administration, at least inside the part of the administration that has power. This is from an interview with Scooter Libby in 2001. Quote, "When I find a time when I disagree with Dick Cheney, I say to myself, why am I wrong?" Unquote, Scooter Libby. Sounds like the male Harriet Myers, doesn't he? The recently withdrawn Supreme Court Justice nominee who called George Bush, among other encomiums, the most brilliant man I've ever met. Well, you know, he was looking for a gusher. So it's clear that the way to go in this administration is loyalty up. The question that remains is, what happened to loyalty down? We may have to go underground to find the answer to that.
Next, intimate tales of America's first underground vice president. The action-packed diary of the man who's just a heartbeat away from history. Dick Cheney. Confidential. Just 1 year ago, we were riding higher than a hooker's skirt. Just 1 year ago, we were cruising toward a mandate that was going to remake this country, the Middle East, and if the Navy construction crew ever could finish the job, the secure undisclosed kitchen. The song never said what a difference a year makes, but maybe it should have. A year ago, nothing looked sadder than John Kerry in mid-speech. Today, you have to add to that list footage of Scooter Libby on crutches. But if the omelet you're going to make is a democratic Middle East, we've already broken more than 2,000 eggs. This egg, though, hurt the most. How do you explain how a guy feels about another guy who's his intellectual soulmate, but they're both straighter than German railroad tracks? How do you explain how you feel about a guy who's ridden his limo over to the secure undisclosed every morning just so we could limo to work together? But you're still both totally straight. How do you explain how you feel when some two-bit prosecutor who believes his own press releases and tries to treat the American political system like just another mafia gang, when that prosecutor takes away your eyes and ears, your fists and steel-booted toes inside the bureaucracy? I'll tell you how you feel. You feel blind and deaf, and your toes feel suddenly, frighteningly naked. These were the kind of dangerous ruminations I was giving way to, hitting the heart medication harder than Muhammad Ali hit Ingemar Johansson. But I'm a man of action, not just thoughts. So I thought the best way out of my ruminative predicament was to pay a surprise visit to the contumacious snake at the heart of the dilemma of the moment. A fellow by the name of I. Lewis Libby. Friday morning, 7:17 a.m.
Morning, James.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, Irving. Heard the news?
Yes, Dick. That's why I didn't think we should stop by the secure undisclosed.
Which is exactly why James will be buying himself a new Lexus later today.
James?
Sometimes, Mr. Libby, a man's got to do what a man's got to do.
You're telling me. So, Mr. Vice President, you've gotten my resignation letter?
Got it. I wrote it.
No, I know, but formalities still matter, don't they?
Maybe more than ever, amigo. So, where would we be going now? Could I hazard a presumption? Shopping tour for a good criminal attorney, perhaps?
You read my mind like an eyes-only memo.
Mm-hmm. And yet we're totally straight.
No, totally.
I suppose that makes it easier somehow.
What?
This, particular amputation.
Hey, look, I'm going to get Bob Bennett or Plato Cacheras or somebody like that. We're going to fight this thing like cornered cougars, and within a couple years, you and I are going to be surgically reattached like...
Like hell. Irving, I've never known you to be a dreamer, except on issues involving national security. Don't start now. Not an attractive look. Doesn't go well with your crutches.
Dick, it doesn't have to be this way. I can fight it. You can testify on my behalf. It's two of the smartest people in Washington against three reporters. I like those odds.
Well, and don't spend your free time in Vegas. James, let's take this turn off.
Where are we? Why am I...
Okay, that's three unfinished questions. But remember, they must be in the form of unfinished answers. All right, look, Irving. Here's how it's gonna be.
We're next to the Potomac, in the middle of the park.
Good. When my GPS fails, I know whom to call. Now put that Yale thinking cap on and process this.
Is that what this is all about? I finished Yale and you didn't. Look, it wasn't all that big.
You're gonna plead full. You're not taking a deal because you can't give our Boy Scout prosecutor friend what he wants. A merit badge for bringing down this government. You're taking a bullet for the team, Irving. We'll go someplace nice, white-collar type facility, and before you know it, the Aspens will be turning. They turn together, you know?
Yeah, I know. Their roots are connected.
Are they ever?
Look, Dick, I've got a defense fund going. It'll pay for a first-rate attorney. Mm-hmm. We'll tie this guy Fitzgerald to so many knots, he'll need David Copperfield to get him loose.
Yeah. And the Iraqis will throw flowers at our soldiers' feet. Irving, I'm inviting you to do something very difficult. Something the two of us struggled not to do ever since we came to this town this time. I'm inviting you to savor the bittersweet taste of reality.
Dick, don't do this.
Your trial won't happen for months. You get pardoned as soon as the boy Wonder leaves office. You're on the hook for maybe a year, year and a half tops.
Mm-hmm.
If Judy freaking Miller can do 85 days in the cooler for nothing, you, sir, can heft 18 months for the good of the operation.
I'm presuming there's not a lot of choice in the matter?
Not unless you swim really well with a broken foot.
Mm-hmm. And that there'll be a consulting position waiting for me on the other side?
No promises, my friend. That would be obstruction of justice. Something I frown upon, as you well know.
All right, Dick. We've come a long way.
Not really. We're just halfway to Amsterdam.
We've come a long way all these years.
Yeah.
It's clearly crunch time. What happens if, let's just say for the sake of argument, I decide to crunch the other way?
Listen, my friend, as James observed earlier, you do what you have to do. In that set of circumstances, I know what I might have to do. I might have to violate every tenet of my personal code of behavior and confide in selected media representatives, personally.
Confide what? I don't think you're in the position to...
Oh, nothing. Maybe. Maybe just the real reason people call you Scooter.
I was going to say you wouldn't do that, but I know better.
Yes, you do. And yet we're totally straight. M Street, James.
Yes, sir.
I left hoping that Irving's new lawyer, whoever it is, talked some sense into the young man. Otherwise, said attorney is going to find it very difficult to get a reservation at the Palm. End of partial diary for the end of October 2005. Sincerely yours, Dick Cheney. Confidential.
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 Confidential. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the end of daylight savings time this year means it's time for a new special feature here on the broadcast. In answer to a certain number of requests, we're going to give you a list. I don't think this has been done on the radio before, of the exact states here in the United States that do not go on to daylight savings time. Could be an interesting new...
Please.
I hear the distinctive throat clearing simulation of Ralph the Talking Computer. Ralph, welcome.
Thanks,
what,
Harry.
Good night.
I was just ripping some tunes out of the library, and I thought I'd save you from what sounds like something that could bore the pants off even me.
Well,
and I don't wear pants.
No, nor should you. Well, the daylight saving time feature may be a bit arcane. Ralph, welcome. It's been a while. I guess it would be appropriate at this point to ask you, have any big Halloween plans in line for the weekend?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do.
Mm.
I have a great costume for this virtual party tonight.
Uh-huh.
I'm going as a Windows computer infected with the bird flu virus.
Oh, that does sound scary.
Yeah.
A virtual party, you say? Now, who all is coming?
Oh, you know, some machines at JPL, the gang at Pixar, and Ray over at one of the networks you don't like.
Well, that narrows it down to about seven. Ralph, you said you were going to save us from a boring feature. You have anything particular in mind?
Yes, in fact, I do.
Oh, good.
You know how people are going around these days with all these different colored wristbands?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about. Yeah, they're for various good causes. I guess AIDS was the first, and now...
It seems like there's at least one cause for every color in the rainbow. Right? Am I right?
What are you doing, stand-up?
No, just nailing down the premise.
All right, consider it nailed. So what's your point?
Well, it's kind of hard to know when you see a colored wristband what cause it stands for.
Yeah, not hard for a computer, I bet.
You know, you could get work as a straight man.
Will you?
All right, I've assembled a list of the colors of the available wristbands and the causes they represent.
Good.
I call it the colors of the wrist.
Colors of the wrist.
And I'd like some nice, sensitive music in the background.
Right, anything else I can get you? Some water for your keyboard, perhaps?
No, I'm fine, thanks.
Okay. Then, ladies and gentlemen, with some nice, sensitive music in the background, here is Ralph, the talking computer, with the colors of the wrist. Ralph?
Purple, Arnold, Chiari, malformation. Purple, ADD. Purple, ADHD. Purple, Alzheimer's. Purple, animal abuse. White, adoptee. Burgundy, silver outline, adults with physical disabilities. Red, AIDS. Gray, allergies. Blue, alopecia. Pinstripe, ALS. Yellow, Amber Alert. Brown, anti-tobacco. Gray, aphasia. Gray, asthma. Gray, brain cancer. Red and white, aplastic anemia. Blue, ARDS. Blue, arthritis. Puzzle, autism. Light blue, Behçet's disease. Green, bipolar disorder. Green, bone marrow donor. Yellow, bladder cancer. White, bone cancer. White, bone disease. Burgundy, brain aneurysm. Silver, brain disability. Silver, brain disorders. Silver, brain tumors. Pink, birth parents. Pink, breast cancer. Pink and blue, breast cancer, male.
The colors of the wrists. Ralph, the talking computer. Ralph.
That was sensitive music.
Yeah.
That was enough to make me puke. And computers don't.
No, I know you don't.
Good Lord, what 99-cent bin did you get that from?
That was from the library right here. The one, something you weren't ripping. Look, didn't you at least enjoy the reverb on your voice?
A little cheesy.
Well,
you could afford to get some better sounding effects. You know, no. You're making a nice living.
Well, I'm comfortable.
I wasn't talking about your seating arrangement.
Ralph, thank you for the thought and for the action. And look on the bright side, at least you saved the listeners from hearing the rundown of states that do not observe daylight savings time. So
next time I feel like doing a good deed, yeah, I'll just repair my permissions instead.
Well, suit yourself. And repair yourself. Ralph the Talking Computer, always a welcome visitor here at Liz Show.
Way deep down in the greenwood, oh, rap-tap-tapping on a window. A young blade and a rambling boy across a wider river to go. The river was wide, the river was deep, and all within the cottage seemed asleep. By and by a young girl came, blinking sleep from a dark eye. She put her finger to her lips, so young and yet not so shy. The river ran deep, the river ran wide. He went to the scullery and stepped inside. I'll tell to ye a roving tale, or recite to you a fable, if you will give to me some bread and a little hot soup if you're able. The river is wide, the river is deep, the ferryman, my father, is asleep. Then she put on a cloak of wool and a pair of fine boots of deerskin, lowering a pretty dark eye when he caught a glimpse of a fair skin. The river is wide, the river is deep, the ferryman, my father, is asleep. He laid her down in the greenwood, oh, squirrel and a rabbit to scamper. He sang her the ancient roving tale and merrily did enchant her. The river is wide, the river is deep, the ferryman, her father, lay asleep. They bade farewell by the river bank. He looked long into her dark eye. An otter splashed and quickly sank, grey like goose in a grey sky. The river is wide, the river is deep, the ferryman, her father, lay asleep.
Ladies and gentlemen, news of public television. PBS Kids Sprout, the new 24-hour preschoolers channel on Comcast Digital Cable, offers Barney, Elmo, Teletubbies, and commercials. The mere idea of a PBS-branded product with ads has hit like a bombshell in the public television world. So far, many stations have refused to affiliate with the new service. And a new program coming to PBS... America's Heartland is a new weekly public television series hosted by Paul Ryan, which will celebrate our nation's agriculture, profiling the people, places, and processes of agriculture. The series will tap into and strengthen the ties that bind us all together. The love of our land and respect for the people who live in it and from it. A national fascination with food, curiosity about unfamiliar places, and the bedrock American values of family, hard work, and the spirit of independence. You see, it's a show, a magazine-style half-hour series produced in widescreen format, sponsored by the Monsanto Company on public television. Because it's not like regular television, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what you may think. That's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet 7.415 megahertz. Shortwave around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archived on your computer whenever you want at harryshearer.com, kcrw.com, available at, what is it, channel 136 on Sirius Satellite Radio? I sure hope so. Available as a free download at www.audible.com/LeShow and available as a free podcast at kcrw.com. And it would be just like Senator John Kerry nailing down his Iraq policy real soon if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty. Thank you very much. If you're wondering where to find Le Show streaming online each week, my recommendation, have no involvement with them, is a nifty website called www.publicradiofan.com. Lists all your favorite public radio shows and when you can hear them online. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. A tip of the Le Show chapeau to the San Diego and Pittsburgh desks. Le Show playlists available at harryshearer.com. Happy and safe Halloween. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. And yes, his first name really is Irving.